It's good to be here tonight. It was a long trip, but we were looking forward to coming here for quite a few months. My wife and I and family met Brother Taylor and his wife in Springfield, Missouri, when we were attending language school in New Tribes Mission. We have in Camdenton, Missouri, there's a language school there where we study language and learn language learning techniques and so forth. And we fellowshipped in a Bible church in Springfield where we met the Taylors. We appreciated their fellowship ever since.
Amen.
There is something, a bond in Christ, isn't there?
Amen.
You know, I only talked to Brother Taylor about, what was it, a day or a day and a half, something like that. And I told Lance, you know, we can really feel close because Christ will unite in a way that our blood relatives just won't do. Isn't that right?
Amen. Amen.
But in case I haven't met any of you yet, my name is Dan Weavers, and that's my wife, Nancy, there. And next to her is my oldest daughter, Kim Marie, and my son, Kyle Stephen. And we have a younger daughter, Carrie Michelle. She's two. She's in the nursery. The type of work that we will be going to will be to the tribes that are in Indonesia. There are known in the country of Indonesia, there are known 838 language groups, and well over 400 of these language groups, to man's knowledge, have absolutely no gospel witness in them. And the further in we go into the jungles, the more people we run across.
Amen.
And most of which, the further in we go, have a language to themselves. There isn't even the similarity of a dialect. The dialects are there, but I'm talking the number of over 400 are languages, not dialects. So the need is great.
Amen.
And I hope that the Lord will burden a few hearts here tonight to go.
Amen.
You know, I just received a letter from the field, and just in our mission alone, in the island of Kalimantan, in East Kalimantan, there is a need for 3 families right now. West Kalimantan, there is a need for 14 families right now. In Sulawesi Islands, there is a need for 13 families right now. And there are tribes. I can show you a list of tribes that they know are there, and that's not even our main objective. Naturally, they would be if the laborers were there. But can you imagine having to choose what language group to go to, knowing that the one that is left will have no gospel witness? It is quite a decision to make.
Amen.
The laborers are few.
Amen.
Before I share some thoughts with you this evening, I'd like to have just a word of prayer. And again, like was mentioned before we took the Lord's Supper, it said to obtain fellowship with the Lord is just to acknowledge before Him our sins. And to maintain fellowship is to be obedient to what He has for us. So often I run across Christians who are all upset and worried. They know they have sinned, and yet they feel to obtain fellowship, they have to read their Bibles 20 times a week or something like this. Now, reading your Bible and studying it is good. We need to do this. And for me, if I would not do this, I believe I would be in sin. Therefore, I have to acknowledge it before the Lord, and then to maintain fellowship, continue to study the Word consistently. But to obtain fellowship, all He says is to recognize our sins before the Lord. We are back in fellowship with Him. And to maintain fellowship is walk in the light that we're in.
Amen.
So tonight, again, before we pray, I would ask we just have a moment of silent prayer, and that we each search our own hearts, and then pray for someone next to you, and then pray for me, that I may say what the Lord would have me to say tonight.
Amen.
Let's have a moment of prayer. Lord, we thank You for answered prayer.
Amen.
Thank You for Your promises and Your word concerning prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
What is our main objective as a Christian? Did you ever think of that? If we were to go around the room and ask each one individually tonight, I think we'd have a few different answers. But what is our main objective as Christians? I'd like to sort of get our minds thinking the same way by using a little example. You might have heard this example before, but here goes. Let's say that we were all firemen. Our job is to put out fires, and we all had different duties. I'd like to pick on 3 of you here this evening. Pastor.
Yes, sir.
Your duty is to sound the alarm, okay? May I pick on you? Your duty is to grease the pole, okay? May I pick on you? Your duty is to drive the truck. Now, just to refresh our minds again, what is our job? And I'll ask in reverse, what is your job? Your job? And your job?
Put out fires mainly, but my occupation is fire.
He hit it on the head. Remember in the beginning I said our job is to put out fires, right? That's a trick question.
But stayed in the same turn about, you know.
You know, I just use that as an example to get our thinking in line, because our main objective as a Christian, I believe from God's word, is to get the gospel into all the world.
Amen.
And I find in my life I may be caught up in doing my duty to an extent where I lose sight of my main objective. Did you ever have that happen?
Yes, sir.
Let's take, for example, what was mentioned this morning, those of you who are in language study. There's one. Language study. Did you get so caught up in it that you lost sight of your main objective at times? I know I did. So we need to keep in mind our main objectives. Get the gospel into all the world. I'd like to read one verse in the scriptures. It has been read so many times over the years. I'd like to read it again. It's found in Mark 16:15. You all know it by heart, I am sure. It goes like this. And Jesus is talking here. And he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm sure you have all heard of a man by the name of William Carey. Probably some of you have read some of his books. He was a man that was used mightily of the Lord in the countries of India and Africa. On May 31st in 1792, he spoke with his, and his message was taken out of Isaiah 54 verses 2 and 3. And in that message, there were hundreds of people who dedicated their lives to the Lord. You see, what he is talking about there, he used application from these verses, is talking about, in these verses, about driving your stakes deeper where you are and enlarging your visions around about
Amen.
You and always having a concern to extend yourselves, never staying dormant or pulling in your boundaries, but have a vision. And one thing that was handed down when he spoke was this: expect great things of God and attempt great things for God. Expect great things of God and attempt great things for God. When William Carey was younger, he grew up in England. And in a church there, he was asked by one of the elders of the church to come up with a topic for missions. Evidently, they were having a missions conference or whatever, I do not know. But he came back later and he reported. He said, I've come up with a topic, it is this. Is the Great Commission for us today? Upon saying that, one of the elderly gentlemen of the church got up and said, sit down, you infidel. When God wants someone saved, he'll be saved. Did you ever hear this? You know, there are thousands upon thousands of people in India and Africa who are in heaven now, and there are thousands upon thousands of them there to this day that are praising God that William Carey didn't sit down.
Amen.
He did not sit down. What about the tribes of the world? In the jungle regions, Wycliffe says there are yet, to man's knowledge, 2,000 language groups that have yet to hear of Jesus Christ. There's no witness there whatsoever. None. Matter of fact, 2 years ago, a representative from Wycliffe said there may very well be 3,000 language groups yet to be reached. This is according to man's knowledge. We do not know. But think of all these people who are dying, going to hell, and never heard of Christ. You know, they really don't know it. They really don't know it, but they are waiting for what you and I are going to do as Christians. I ask the question, are missions priority number one in our life as a Christian? Are we concerned about getting the gospel to the ends of the earth? Is his last command our first concern? I had people come up to me and say, my main objective as a Christian is to glorify the Lord. Others would say, my main objective as a Christian is to give praise to the Lord. May I ask, what is the definition of giving glory to the Lord? Or what do we mean behind it when we say we want to praise the Lord? Is it not in fellowship, being obedient to what he has for us? Why do you have a congregation? Why do you come to church? Why are you taught God's word? Why do you encourage one another? Why do you exhort one another? Is it not so that you can mature in the word for a purpose? It's not to keep everything to ourselves.
Amen.
It's so that we can be better equipped to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
And let us not forget that where we are standing right now is a part of the earth. And let's not also forget that those who have never heard is a part of the earth. And the Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, not part of it. These things many Christians, we just don't want to hear many times because facts are facts, and this presents responsibility upon Christians. You know, those who sacrifice for getting the gospel out, it will cost here on earth. Do you know that? It will cost here on earth. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. This is considered the faith chapter, many of them call. Well, for instance, let's look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Are we willing as Christians to take ridicule? Sometimes we may feel that we can't take any more. We are being harassed and ridiculed to the extent where we feel it's just too great. Let's consider Noah. Did you know that in Noah's time they never had moisture come out of heaven to earth? They had the moisture come from the earth up. Did you know that? A mist, it says in Genesis. Can you imagine Noah living in a community? Let's say he's two blocks away. The neighbors come up to him and say, "What are you building, Noah?" He says, "I'm building an ark." "Well, what for, Noah?" "Because God says there's going to be a lot of rain coming from heaven." Can you imagine what they thought? He was completely out of it. He was nuts. Can you imagine the ridicule? Do you know how long that job took of building the ark? Years. Years to build that ark. And he was willing to take that ridicule from his neighbors. You know, I can't find a scripture where he had too much comfort from other believers. But he continued on.
Amen.
So when you and I feel that we are being ridiculed, let's think of Noah and his faith that he had. Let's read on to verse 8 and 9. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And when he went out, not knowing whither he went, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Can you imagine this? Here God says to Abraham, go. He went. If someone came up to him and says, "Where are you going, Abraham?" He says, "I don't know." He says, "I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going." Wouldn't that be kind of strange in today's thinking? Our logical mind, kind of different, isn't it? But he was obedient to the Lord.
Amen.
You know, in those days, the Lord spoke to men. How does he speak to us today? Through his word, isn't it? I read in my Bible that he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature."
Amen.
Further on in Hebrews, let's look at verse 35, 36, 37. Not only should we be really ready to take ridicule, but are we willing to sacrifice our lives for the Lord? We read there, let's start in verse 36. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, and so on. Are we willing? Are we willing? It's easy to say yes. It's another thing to do it.
That's right.
In 1947, there were 5 missionaries killed in the jungles of Bolivia by the Ayare Indians. 1956, there were 5 missionaries killed by the Aku Indians in South America. 1964, Paul Carlson was killed by rebels in Africa. 1972, 2 women missionaries were burned, tied to their grass huts in Vietnam. And we could go on and on. Are you willing? To the world, this was foolishness. They went out on a whim and they got themselves killed. But are you willing as Christians to give your lives, if need be? You know, the measure of a man's life does not consist in its duration, but it's in its donation, not in its duration. I'd rather go out there and be killed in the next year when I get out there or whenever, rather than live my life here out of tune with God. If I live to be 90 years old. Life is too short to waste it. You know, you may say, "Well, brother, I'm just afraid of those snakes there in the jungle." I don't know if any of you young people, that idea goes across your mind. I'm afraid of those snakes. Or you may say, "I'm afraid of those big spiders or those tarantulas." Or, "I'm afraid of the swamps and the gators and the monkeys, the baboons, the heat, the diseases. I'm afraid of these things." Well, if you're going to be afraid, let's be afraid all the way. So you think about the biggest snake that was ever recorded in the Guinness Book of Records, and you think about the biggest spiders and the worst diseases that you can imagine, and you think about the most fearful Indians that you can imagine, and then you give that fear over to the Lord.
Amen.
Then give the fear over to the Lord. You know, many times the Lord, you may feel, I'm not called, and we use this word called so readily today, I'm not called to this jungle areas because I have a fear of snakes. I have a fear of snakes, therefore I'm not called. Do you know when you give that fear over to the Lord, that you may be the person the Lord wants to use because he wants a person to depend on him? A person who feels he's self-sufficient isn't going to do much for the Lord. We could think of it that way, isn't it? So if you have a fear of snakes, are you called to the jungles? I don't know. But you see, so often today we use this word called out of its meaning. For instance, I believe the Word of God teaches that every born-again believer is called to be a missionary. He is called to witness. What is a missionary? It's one who witnesses.
Amen.
We are called to witness. Now, we have different duties, and there'll be different places, but we all have the same job. You know, it's a shame to me, for me being a Christian, it's a shame to me when I read in the papers about almost 1,000 people who follow a man to South America and go and live in the jungle. When I realize that there are thousands and thousands of people in the jungles who have never heard of Christ,
Amen.
And the Lord has commissioned us as Christians to get the gospel to these regions. And people will follow men and live in the jungle where Christians will not be willing to go for the Lord to present the word to them for the first time. Never heard of Christ. It's a shame to me when I read of oil workers who are hired by the big oil companies and they go and search for oil in the jungles of the world.
Amen.
Some get sick, some get wounded, some got killed by the Indians. But you know, sometimes we find that they have gone first and further in the jungles than the gospel. Now, isn't this a shame?
Amen.
It's all for the
Amen.
Almighty buck.
That's right.
The dollar
Amen.
Bill. You know, some you may still, well, I still don't feel called to be involved in this work. Well, brother, I'll tell you, I didn't get saved by feeling. I got saved by putting my faith in Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
And it's the same thing after salvation. We walk by faith, not by feeling. And our faith comes from God's word.
Amen.
So we need to get in it and see what he has for us.
Amen.
Then again, we could reverse the table. Do you feel called to stay home? You know, the commission is to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel.
Amen. Right.
Do you feel called to stay home? You know, too often we as Christians have made God's will subject to our own rather than our own will subject to God. We need to keep our objective in order. There were some Air Force trainees here this morning. I don't know if there are any here tonight. But you know, in America, we have a great armed forces. It is really something. What is the main objective of our armed forces? Is it to have dress parades? But they have dress parades. Is it to have weekend maneuvers? They have weekend maneuvers. Back home, we call them weekend warriors. What about us as Christians? Is that the way we live for the Lord? Do we have weekend maneuvers? We come to church on Sunday. When we get our eyes off the main objective, isn't this how it is?
Amen, brother.
You know, this is really where what they might say, the young people say, is where the rubber meets the road. Did you ever hear that expression? Well, did you ever have a flat tire on your car? You notice when there's a flat tire, it always seems as though you're a mile or two away from home or the filling station. And you think, I can make it. I'm only going to go 25 miles an hour, but maybe I'll go 35 and I'll flop a lot and everything, but I'll make it. So you continue on. Plop, 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 plop. You know, I equate that with the air going out of your tire is equated with a Christian who is out of fellowship. He doesn't have the fellowship with the Lord. He's in sin. And when he continues on in sin without acknowledging it before the Lord, he's plop, plop, plopping along. And do you ever notice that before long, a flat tire that's rolling along starts to smell? And the rubber gets hot and you have a foul odor. Oh, this is how the world looks at us as Christians when we are continually in sin. And they won't want anything to do with us. So you see how important it is to have a fellowship with the Lord?
Amen.
And if we don't have a sensitive burden for the gospel and to propagate it throughout the earth, then we as Christians, we just don't have much. We just don't have much. Let's think of those who have never heard. Can you imagine that? Right now, tonight, let's just talk of Indonesia alone once. Over 400 language groups in the jungles that have never heard of Christ. How would you like to be one of them and wake up in the morning without Christ? Worse yet, how would you like to be one of them and die without Christ? Did you ever think of that? If we are to have a burden for these people that have never heard, we have to believe that they are lost.
Amen.
We have to believe that they are lost. You know that in one school, there were many students taken a pre-entrance exam. What school it was, I do not know. But they were theology students. And they took a percentage of them. And the first question that was asked was, do you believe the Bible is God's word? 97% said yes. 3% said no. And about the sixth or seventh question down, they asked, do you believe that those who have never heard are lost? Do you know that only 37% said yes? And 63% said no. Now something's wrong here. First they say they believe the Bible to be God's word, and then they turn around and say that those who have never heard and die are saved. What does God's word say? Again, let's not live by feeling, let's live by faith.
Amen.
Let's turn to Acts 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Romans chapter 3, verses 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in chapter 10, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now this sounds good if we don't continue on. It goes on to say, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is no other way to heaven but through
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
You know, in my feelings, I really would like these people who have never heard to go to heaven. But God says they're going to go to hell.
That's right.
And you know, in 1 Corinthians 15:34, God says to the Christian church, some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. You know, I can put my own name there. Some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame, Dan. This is something we need to grasp hold of. And another thing, let's never say quit. Let's never say quit.
Amen.
You know, it's so easy. I do not know what the... I know every church has problems because we are here on earth. And we have the sin nature and we have unsaved working against us and through the devil and our own sin natures and so forth. I know every church has problems and I don't know what yours is. But let's never say quit.
Amen.
And one word of encouragement. Let's turn to Mark, where we started. Mark 16. 16:15, he says, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But now let's go to the verse 14, the verse before it. After he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. You know, the Lord Christ, he upbraided the disciples for their hardness of heart.
Amen.
You know how much time the Lord spent with these disciples and taught them, walked with them, fellowship with them, day after day after day. He poured his life into these men. And here, they did not believe what he said that was going to happen to him. He told the disciples he would rise again, victor over death. And here, he had to upbraid them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. Can you imagine that? When you sin, did anyone ever upbraid you for your unbelief? Or whatever the situation may be, if you are ready to quit, are you going to quit? Are you going to see what the Lord did to the disciples? You know, right after upbraiding them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, he told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
Did you ever think of that? So when we sin, let's not have a self-pity party and get ourselves down and quit. Let's just continue on.
Amen.
Continue on.
Amen.
You know, in Indonesia, there is a tribe in the interior on the island of Kalimantan. It's called the Garai tribe. About a year and a half ago, a couple members of the Garai tribe went downriver to another tribe where one of our folks was working. And how they communicated, I do not know. Perhaps a couple members were bilingual from tribe to tribe. But the message they got across was this. They said, would you send your missionary to our people to tell us of his God? And if he would go, he would accomplish nothing because he's already learning a culture and a language of the tribe he's in. The laborers are few. And to this day, there is no witness there. There is no one there learning the language to present Christ to that tribe. Can you imagine a whole tribe asking to tell them of our God? We don't have to convince them, they're asking. This didn't deter them when no one came. They saw that this other tribe had a strip cleared out in the jungle and a big bird flew down. It was a piper cub. To them, it's a big bird. And they figured, well, if we clear out a spot in the jungle by us, this big bird will fly down. So they did it. I'm sure it wasn't in very good shape, but they cleared a strip in the jungle. And they built a hut for the white person to stay, thinking that he'd come flying in. And there's no one there yet today. Now, this is sad, isn't it? This is really sad. But this is fact. This is fact. This only tells me that so many Christians are not open to God's will for him or her. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 9. Let's start reading verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. In Indonesia and this tribe and many other tribes and other countries where the tribes are and countries where the gospel has not been proclaimed, why? Could it be that we are not praying for laborers?
Amen. God help us.
And do you know that many of the laborers, when they do go, they say, when the Lord gripped my heart, when I start praying for laborers, he said, you go.
Amen.
He said, you go. There is time and time again I've heard of people who said, I start praying for laborers, and the Lord just said, answer your own prayer and go yourself. Another thing to consider in verse 36, the Lord says, they were as sheep without a shepherd. You know, if we were to load everyone in this room up tonight on a large airplane and fly it down to the jungles of Bolivia, and you got off the plane, you were right in the tribe by the Ayare Indians, it wouldn't be long before you would see one of them reach into a rotten log and pull out a white grub worm and pop it in their mouth and eat it. And you'd come back to the States and you'd tell everybody, these are people that eat grub worms. They eat worms. You know how the Lord looks at those people? They're sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd. We could go to the tribal people in Thailand. We'd all hop a plane again. And we'd get there and we'd find that the communists are threatening to kill the people, kill the folks, if they don't do anything that they say. And we'd come back here and say, the country's almost closed. The country's almost closed. They're going to wipe out a lot of Christians. They're going to kill them. The Lord looks at them that they're sheep without a shepherd. You know, about 12 years ago, they kept saying that Thailand's closed, and we still have missionaries there yet today. And this could go on and on. How do we look at those who have never heard? The Lord looks at them, sheep without a shepherd. Is his last command our first concern? You know, sometimes I wonder why we have so much Bible study and so forth when the church as a whole, the American church, we're not walking in the light we have in the first place.
Amen.
You know, when I find this to be the truth, I find that there's a lot of bickering and backbiting in congregations.
Amen.
They can't find a blessing, and for one thing, they're already in sin, many of them. They're not walking in the light that they have, so they just dwell and live on the old sin nature and backbite. And this is really sad.
Amen.
Because your hair touches your ears, you can't fellowship with me. And you could go on to many, many other things and so forth. I do not believe this is of the Lord at all.
Amen.
A person that the Lord accepts, that the Lord saves, and we say, we're not going to fellowship with you. This is sad. So let's keep this objective in mind. Matter of fact, what is our objective as a Christian? What is your main objective? Is it to work to get the gospel out? I hope so.
Amen.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.